He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of verse that gives me all kinds of hope, because it tells me that God isn't finished with me or you or our world yet. In the Bible, there's a lot of different metaphors for God. God is a king, God is a father, God is a woman in childbirth, God is a rock, God is a tree, God is a river, God is a shepherd. But this morning, we're going to look at God as a potter. When was the last time that you walked out in creation, much like the video that we saw, and looked around and saw the way that creation is just full of all kinds of beauty and complexity? I mean, the little stream that has all kinds of abundant life that we can see and some we can't see, goes into a river, and that river feeds life and conveys life into the ocean, and the ocean creates life and conveys life, and the water evaporates and it comes back to the fields and the farms in Ohio, and it starts over again. Or you could consider an egg to a bird, or a cocoon to a butterfly, or you could think about the double helix of the DNA molecules passed from one generation to another, or galaxies. Galaxies that are so large we can't fathom them. But when we see them through special scopes, their beauty is just as intense as a spring flower. Whenever I stop to comprehend beauty in nature, it forces me to think about the Creator. Because I believe that we're not an accident. I'm not, you're not, we're collectively not an accident. And to stand in awe of creation is not to worship creation, but to acknowledge and worship the Creator. Early in the book of Genesis, we read that we are created male and female in the image of God. Now, I have to admit, there was a time early in my adolescent life that I thought that must mean that God had 10 fingers and 10 toes like me if I'm made in God's image. I've let go of that, but I wonder, what if one of the ways that we're created in the image of God is to have the ability to imagine, design, and create something. To be able to see beyond the now to the not yet, what's needed. To be able to imagine what could be, to design it, and then go about creating it. Not that we're all potters, not that we're all artists or chefs or architects, but what if one of the ways that we're created in the image of God is the ability to imagine, design, and create. One of the things I love to do, I love to geek out when I need to veg on YouTubes. I like to see dudes take a cutting torch, an old propane tank, maybe a grinder and a welder, and they start cutting and welding and grinding, and my mind immediately goes, I wonder what it's going to be when it's finished. So it is with the Creator, the one who can see it in their mind before it's there, unrevealed until its season, something only God or the Creator can see. I believe that we have a God who is a God of process, a God that moves in and through history in ways that is a timeline that's different than ours, But God has a purpose and a plan. Even through the complexities, even through the painful histories that we endure, God doesn't waste it, but God uses it. You might have heard of the phrase that said, we might be able to count the number of apples on a tree, but it's only God who can count the number of trees in an apple. To be able to count the number of trees in an apple or flowers in a bulb or vessels in a lump of clay is something that's tied inherently to creation, the Creator, and the creative act. This morning, as I was wedging this lump of clay, my mind went to all the hands that touched it before it got in this form. It's still a formless void, but I thought of the people who dug it out of a riverbank, of the people that refined it, of the people that brought it to the place where I could purchase it and bring it home. And then I thought of all the people in my life who've gone before me, whose acts, whose faithfulness, whose actions have literally helped shape who I am in my faith, in my personality, in my career, and in my life in general. And I give thanks to them for those acts. But sooner or later, like any pot, the clay has to hit the wheel. And when it does, it is put down in the middle. And the first task of any potter is to center the clay. It's almost as if the clay has a mind of its own, and an early inexperienced potter's hands just jiggle around with the clay, almost like it has a mind of its own. But until the clay gets centered, there's really nothing the potter can do with it, because it's impossible to be worked until the clay is centered. In my 62 years of life, I found several mantras, several realities. And one of them is that I believe the only way to get to spiritual or even psychological maturity is to get to the place of acknowledging that there is a God and it's not you. It's not you, it's not me, it's not any of us. It's not unlike the question, who is the pot and who is the clay? In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8, as the writer is grappling with that same profound thought, and we can read it in a number of different places in the Old Testament, the writer says something like, "For you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter, we are the work of your hands." It's an important step to get to. And until we get to that place, life is a struggle. Life is a struggle, and one of the surest ways to live a life of destruction, I believe, is to live as if there is no God. Or maybe worse, to live as if you are God. But for the formless void to take shape, the clay is pressed and moved in ways that the clay almost has to find a time of resignation to get to the place of resigning, could we even say submitting, to the potter's hands. Some clay bodies are harder, some are more difficult to get to that point, but when they do, you can see that the potter's hands don't move, and the clay simply spins with the water around it. I don't know about you, but the confession of my life, it's not always easy to get to the place of submitting to God's will. Maybe it's my fierce individualism. Maybe it's my overly adapted sense of responsibility. But it's not easy to get to the place of saying, I'm going to allow someone or something other than my own will to take control of my life. It's not easy. In fact, it wasn't easy for Jesus either. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, realizing what the Father was asking, until he got to the place of saying, not my will, but your will be done. One of the things that I do, that not all potters do, but as I have experienced, and as I have read ceramic scientists, they say that stretching the clay is a good thing. Stretching the clay prepares it to be used. This clay body got a little drier than I was ready for. Just means it takes a little bit more work. But I like to stretch the clay to get it to the place, at least to the height of what I'm going to make. And when I do, the scientists say that it aligns the molecules of the clay and prepares it to be stronger and more easily used. Something that's stretched, this is not the purpose of the clay. It's not something that I'd want to keep. It doesn't have any capacity. It doesn't have any form. It's just there. Not something that I would ever intend to keep. But it has a purpose. A purpose that leads to something else that we can't even see. I've been stretched several times in my life. One time about 10 years ago, my wife was diagnosed with cancer. She had treatment, she had several surgeries, and thank God now she's gone for 10 years without any. But I want to tell you, through those dark days of wondering what was before us, we weren't sure that we wanted to stop there. We didn't even want to go on that journey. But what happened through that time, we were not only strengthened, we were prepared. We were prepared in ways that we had not even imagined. I had been a pastor for a long time, but there's nothing that prepares you for conversations with other people that are hurting, going through their own journeys of being stretched. Nothing prepares you as much as going through it yourself. And when we were through that journey, conversations, ministries, partnerships, and relationships all took on a different meaning because of that experience of being stretched. As we're going through this coronavirus, my guess is there's a number of us, of you, who are being stretched. Maybe it's because of your business. Maybe it's because of your health. Maybe it's because of the ongoing challenges that we face that Leah talked about, even in our call to worship, of the racism and the evils that it's producing and coming to a head, it seems, here of late. But be assured, to be stretched is not a place to stay, but it is an important part of being prepared to be shaped and to be used. One of the things the potter has to do when we begin is to look at the lump of clay and decide, what is it that I'm going to make out of this? Is it going to be a spoon rest? Is it going to be a mug? Is it going to be a vase? Or is it going to be a plate? And on the potter goes and begins to shape something that's there and has something of an idea. And there's different forces going besides the wheel. There's centrifugal force. There's other things that are going. And we go bigger and bigger. And inevitably, there's times when what we make gets pressed out right to the limits. Right to the limits of thinking that I'm not sure it fell. It looks like a disaster, looks like a waste. But Leah, could I borrow your Bible? I'd like to read from Jeremiah chapter 18, if I could borrow your Bible.
I think I will do this. You just keep playing.
Oh, okay. She's picky about her Bible.
Sure. Okay. Jeremiah
received the Lord's word. Go down to the potter's house, and I will give you instructions about what to do there. So I went down to the potter's house. He was working on the potter's wheel, but the piece he was making was flawed while still in his hands. So the potter started on another, as it seemed best to him. Then the Lord's word came to me. House of Israel, can't I deal with you like this potter, declares the Lord? Like the clay in the potter's hands, so are you in mine, house of Israel.
Thank you. What Jeremiah was talking about there was the ability for God to create a timeline of working with the people that was not dependent upon what was happening immediately. And one of the truisms of God is that God doesn't waste anything. God doesn't waste our pain, our challenges, our celebrations, our joy, but he uses them all in ways that create purpose in our lives. It's not always easy to see it right away, but it's something that happens over and over when we look back of how God has shaped our lives. This lump of clay looks wasted right now, but I assure you, it's going to go back into my potter shop. It's going to be repurposed, and it's going to be used again. Well, the potter keeps going and works on a centered and a stretched piece of clay. There's something mesmerizing about not only doing pottery, but watching a potter work. It's not even dependent upon the skill of the potter, but just to be able to watch something formed right in front of you. For the potter, there's really only two sides to a pot, the inside and the outside. It's the only two sides. It's the outside where the beauty is perceived, but it's really the inside is where the purpose and the capacity of the pot is defined. If it wasn't the inside, the outside would never exist. I'm going to do something here that doesn't happen often with a pastor, a preacher. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to, for the next 3 or 4 minutes, be quiet and let you watch. I want to let you watch what is being made, and I want you to think of your own life, of where you're being shaped. It might be that you're still struggling to be centered in God's hands. It might be that you're being stretched in God's hands where you don't want to stay, but I want you to focus on the center where God is beginning to create in you the place to allow your purpose to be shaped and used. Watch and think of God's hands in yours, in your life. I think there's going to be some music coming here shortly. One little trim. A simple vase, a vase that holds things, a vase that has kind of the rugged beauty of a hand-thrown piece. A vase just sits there receiving what it's been given, but it doesn't really do much else. With a simple touch yet of the potter's hand and the addition of something else, it moves from a vessel to hold and only receive to a vessel that receives and shares. It moves from a vessel that is designed, this got a little wonky while it was in the bag, but it becomes a pitcher. And the difference between a pitcher and a vase is really not a whole lot other than the purpose. The purpose of a pitcher is to first receive and then to share. I believe that God calls us as followers of Jesus Christ to grow as communities of grace, joy, and peace so that God's healing and hope flow through us to the world. My hope for you here at Millersburg Mennonite, my hope for followers of Jesus everywhere, is that we would not be content just to receive God's grace, but that we would be active participants in sharing that love and grace with the world, which is in great need today. Amen and amen. That's just about to fall off of there.